Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are here high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral with one amazing couple, Ellen and Joe Burke. Welcome.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. And this is a couple who, when you find out about them, it's amazing how much they pack into their lives. And, you know, we think about the book Dynamic Catholic from Matthew Kelly. I think it should have been written about you guys. Joe, again, welcome. And tell us and introduce yourself. Tell us about your family.
Sure. The best thing I could tell you about myself is about my family. It's about my wife, Ellen. We just celebrated our 11th anniversary yesterday.
Congratulations. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, and we have three amazing kids, Judith, Janie, and Jameson, 10, 6, and 2. Well, he'll be two in real shortly here on the 22nd of October. And we're both from the Midwest. And, yeah, that's it. I mean, I am my family.
And Ellen, tell us about yourself. Where'd you grow up and so forth? And
I'm from northern Minnesota, town called Duluth.
Is that Minnesota nice?
It is Minnesota nice.
Give us some Minnesota talk here.
Oh, I don't know if I could.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that's wonderful. And where'd you guys meet?
We met up in Los Angeles.
Yes. Yeah. Sports bar.
Oh, mm-hmm. Fantastic.
I was playing Papa Shot, and she walked by, and I said to my buddy, I said, that one.
Yeah. And she beat you later at it, right?
I'm yeah. Not sure. She actually bought me a Papa Shot for the garage later.
Well, we're here on beautiful Christ Cathedral on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Joe and Ellen Burke. And what we're talking about, the theme of this particular show, is abundant living. And we see, and take a look at your Bibles, we see John 10:10, and it says that I have come to give you life and life abundantly. And I think it's so important to understand that living a Christian life means that we have this abundant life as it relates to our own personal faith life, as it relates to marriage, as it relates to family, as it relates to work, as it relates to ministry. And that's really what we're going to talk about, more of a holistic approach. So, Joe, I know in terms of your own personal background and testimony, tell us about how you got closer to the Lord. Was it something from kind of gradual? Was it more of an all of a sudden thing? Tell us about your story.
Sure. You know, my parents had a big role in it. I grew up, born in Chicago, two Catholic parents, Irish and Italian, got the double whammy there. And
you know, they say that's oil and gasoline. Yeah. I'm not sure, but
that'd be correct. Yeah. But really had a wonderful family. Very fortunate to go to Catholic schools growing up, and faith was a big part of our life. I was the third boy, by far the most wild and adventurous. And I'd even say, you know, in my many years, I worked in Los Angeles, lived in Santa Monica. And, you know, as wild as my life was at the time, and I traveled all over the world at the time, I always found myself at St. Monica's, Monsignor Torgerson, I'm sure you guys know. And my faith has always been with me. But I can't say by any stretch of the imagination that there's any perfection then or now. But I will say it has guided my decisions in terms of what was best for us and our family. And I know it was pivotal in raising our children as well. So
we're with Joe and Ellen Burke here on Empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about abundant living, and Joe's sharing about his faith. And why is following, as a Catholic, following Jesus so important to you?
You know, I think you're a ship without a rudder. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's got to be a center point in your life. And again, I'm no picture of perfection, but I do know there was an example 2,000 years ago that was given to us. And if you follow that example, not only will you quantitatively live a better and longer life, you're just going to be happier. And I've met and worked with people from every different walk of life, experience of life. I've worked in advertising, entertainment. I've owned my own company. I've worked for Fortune 100 companies. And you meet a lot of people. And the people that that I've worked best with and shared most with in terms of my life and enjoyment, especially with my wife, are people that have that center. And I found most often those are the ones that have a center, surprisingly, are the ones that don't talk about it often. But when you get down and you peel back the floorboards in people's lives and people that are truly heading in a direction, you'll see that they have this center of faith in their life.
Now, you've been extremely successful in business, and certainly I want to hear more about that. But I don't know about you. I mean, I've been a corporate executive for many, many years and interfaced with very top people nationally and internationally. But the ones I respect are the ones that are grounded in God and certainly the Lord and grounded in their faith. And it's interesting. It's not about their position or their background, but it is about how much they love, you know, how much they love God, how much they love their family, how much they love people. And that makes a huge difference. And that's certainly what you do in terms of your work. And so tell us right now, you're in advertising, running your own business, and tell us about that.
I have a company called The Anatomy of Yes, and it was really formed. It was a book that I've been writing. And long story short, I had left a company, and I was going to take some time and get up to Minnesota quite a bit. We have a family house up there that we go to. And I got a phone call, I think, a day after I left, and they said, we heard you're on the market and want to start doing some work with you. And so I owned theanatomyofyes.com because it was a book I was going to write, and all of a sudden that became the company. I have a handful of clients. I love serving them. I love doing the work for them. And most notably, Ellen and I have a client that is one of the original surfing wetsuit brands.
Wow.
And so we did a project on Maui where we went there to film and really study Hawaiian legends and the legends of Maui. And I told the CEO, I said, well, listen, you're going to bring an unbelievable production manager on this trip, and her name's Ellen Burke. And so we went to Maui together. We traveled with the CEO and his daughter. And just to me, that was the ultimate work-life balance. Ellen found a way to, I think it was an orchestrated five sitters and family to watch the kids while we were on there. But it was, to me, the deepest immersion, because for many years, especially when I was driving an hour and a half to work, an hour and a half home, when I was at Disney, you know, I missed it. I got up and the kids were sleeping, and I'd come home and the kids were sleeping. And for me, this was the ultimate way of getting Ellen and I together, not only in a work environment, but also in a life environment. And it was more fulfilling than if we were just to have gone on vacation.
That's fantastic. We're with Joe and Ellen Burke, and we're talking about how we put Christ at the center of everything we do, how we put Christ at the center of work, our relationships, our marriage, our family. Ellen, tell us about your faith walk, if you could.
Okay. So I grew up in northern Minnesota, and I was raised in the church. My parents were divorced when I was younger. So my mom would drop me off at Sunday school along with my brother, and we went through the whole, you know, Sunday school, confirmation, and all that, the stuff. And then as soon as I got old enough to make the choice, I chose not to go to church all the time, because it wasn't the culture of the family that I was in or with my mom, you know, at that point. But I remember I would always go to my grandmother's house, Helen, and she'd watch church on TV because she couldn't travel and go to Mass. And probably 30 times throughout my childhood when she would watch me, she ended up giving me a rosary. So I have a drawer full of these rosaries that she would constantly. So, you know, she was a very faithful woman. So it was always there. But it wasn't until I met Joe and we decided that we were going to have a family that we really thought about it and thought, you know, or I really thought about it and thought, I really need to get back into the church. This is where I want to raise my kids. This is how I want to raise my kids. This is the journey I want to take with him. And so I was one of those that went away for a while and got brought back.
And I'm sure many listeners out there can relate to that. And many perhaps are listening and not knowing why they're listening, and maybe that they've dropped out. But you're saying there's hope. And basically, just how did you come back? Is it something that just nudged at you where you really felt like, you know, God's talking to me here. I want to build my house on a solid foundation and not on sand.
Yeah, exactly that. I think facing down the barrel of starting a family and raising those kids, I knew that the solid foundation was going to come from Joe and I. And if, you know, he was the one that was bringing them to church and raising them in the church, which is what I wanted, but I wasn't there. It's like, you know, like he said, you kind of have half a ship, you know, if you don't, it's not going to float unless you have the whole thing put together. And so I came back and, you know.
And the rest is history, right? But it's an ongoing, it's an evolution, right? You know, we have to constantly keep coming back.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we go every Sunday, sometimes Saturday night, sometimes night mass. Sometimes we're standing in the vestibule because the kids are, you know, but we're there and we're faithful and it brings us together as a family.
And I heard a rumor that after this show, you're going to be going to daily mass. That was in the contract, by the way.
It was. Yeah. I saw that.
Tell us about your family. How many children?
The two of us, we have three kids.
Mm-hmm. And how old?
Judith is 10. Mm-hmm. Jameson is going to be 2 at the end of October, and Janie is 6.
Wow. And you're juggling an awful lot because you're also employed, correct?
Yes.
And tell us about how what you're employed in and how you juggle that together.
I teach in the Department of Special Education at Cal State Fullerton.
Awesome.
So I'm blessed to be able to work from home and also cursed because I have to work from home.
Well, we're going to find out more about that after the break here, about how we can manage working from home and doing all that stuff, and then how a marriage needs to be centered in the Lord. We're going to be right back. Hello, everyone. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit here high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral with amazing couple Joe and Ellen Burke. And we're talking about abundant living, putting Christ the center of what you do, whether it be in your family, in your marriage, in your work, in your ministry, whatever it might be. And this couple has been so involved in so many different things. And we're just talking about the challenges of juggling as a woman, a marriage, a family, a very demanding job, ministries, all kinds of things. And how do you do it from a time management standpoint, Ellen?
I'd say I'm always doing at least 6 things at the exact same time.
And where are you on number 1 to 6, Joe, is what I want to know.
I cannot explain. I mean, there's a microchip in her head that is far beyond anything that's been developed today, the way she can multitask. She's unbelievably organized and can figure things out on the fly. I'm not just saying that. I am truly amazed. She's unbelievably organized. Real quick, I got to talk to, like, just brag on her for a second.
Sure.
She can multitask. When we were dating, I remember I went down to meet her. She was went back to school to get her master's. I was in Santa Monica. She was in Orange County. So I came down to see her, and she was sitting there at a coffee shop. She says, well, you can come and hang out, but I've got some work to do. I said, okay. She had one piece of 8.5x11 paper, and she had a grid and all of this little writing with this mechanical pencil. And I said, I can buy you another piece of paper if you want.
Oh.
She said, no. And every single square inch of that was covered. She was creating a very meticulous study guide. And this is part of the success that she has. It's unbelievable what she's able to do, managing the kids and managing 4 courses now.
Congratulations. That is amazing. But it's not easy, right?
It's not easy. I think, you know, sometimes, like every human, I get very overwhelmed with the amount of stuff that I have going on. Mm-hmm. The kids have a particular difficult day, and I've got work that I need to do, and I've got, you know, dinner I need to make and stuff, and, you know, it gets tough.
We're talking about living abundantly and abundant life, and as John 10:10, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. And one of the biggest challenges in our busy world of today is it's so easy to get sucked into 1,000 different priorities and 1,000 mm-hmm. different activities. How do you make Jesus number one? My brothers and sisters, it says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added unto that. Sometimes we get messed up and we seek almost everything else, and or if we have time, we'll fit in Jesus. But your thoughts on that, Ellen?
Well, I think when I'm at that point where I get very stressed with everything that I feel like I need to be doing, sometimes I just, and this is in the words of my father-in-law, who, you know, is a very wise man, he says, give it up. just give it up. And what he means by that is give it up to God. You're not going to be able to handle all this all the time. You know, it's not something that you're programmed to do, nor should you. So he just says, just give it up. And so I do. Sometimes I just stop and I'm like, I don't know.
And one of the most important things for everyone listening in is make sure when you make God a priority that you make prayer a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, you know, one of the most important things in a busy life is to make sure that we're not so busy that we never have time to pray or to listen to God. Your thoughts on that and how that works as it relates to, you know, your life, marriage, work, everything else. How does prayer fit in?
It's strangely, it's when I run. So I like to run, and that's where I find myself extremely close to God. And whether it's biking or running, it's just solitude. I don't know. That's why I think I like the desert, too. You know, we'll pray with our kids from time to time at night, which is, you know, a very cultural thing. I remember doing it with my parents, and that's a very special time. But I guess the quietness of exercise and running, it's where I find my center.
And we see this in Isaiah that says, be still and know that I'm God. And so it's so important to understand the fact that prayer is that foundation, and a foundation for marriage. And you know, Joe, you've got this incredible practice or advertising company. You have this amazing world in terms of marriage and family and ministry. How do you put marriage and make it as important as it needs to be when you're pulled in so many different directions?
It's a great question. It's not easy. None of it's easy. And, you know, we've had struggle upon struggle. I mean, we always knew we were going to stay together, but I will say, with every kid, we had a big advance in our life, with every child. And I don't know if you're comfortable talking about it, but, you know, we had, you know, we had two children that we lost before they came into the world. But, you know, I always felt that teams are created through adversity, not through winning all the time. And, boy, we've gone through a lot of adversity. We fought through a lot of tough things, you know, especially dealing with, you know, and it's really when I really connected work with marriage. It was because it was work, there was marriage, and there was spiritual life, and those things had to work together. And when I started involving Ellen more in my work decisions, because I used to go to work and high-powered things, you know, I'm making big decisions. I'm an executive. I used to think that way, and then when I come home, now I'm dad. Now I'm the husband. And you know what? If I take her out to dinner enough times, I bring home enough flowers, then I've fulfill my role, get the kids to where they need to go. It was all service-based. You know, it was all checking off because I'm a task person. You know, I got to accomplish things and tasks. And it wasn't until I realized that the real work is doing the work with Ellen. When I started going to her for advice on work-related issues, then I would say, well, it's, you know, it's not what she studied. It wasn't her field of study. No, she had insights, especially when it came to areas of organizational psychology, especially when it came to areas of understanding people and intuition. And that really, when your question, when it asks about managing work life, it was kind of just driving straight into it.
Ellen.
I have a specific example. There was a job where Joe was... He was happy with the work, but the job wasn't making him happy. And he came home one night and it had become increasingly stressful. And I could tell, the family could tell, the dynamics of the family suffered, you know, because Joe wasn't happy. And we had a glass of wine. We prayed about it. And we decided that he was going to resign from his job the next day because that wasn't the direction that number one, our faith was taking us because there was ethical issues at the job that just didn't jive with the way we wanted to live. And it just wasn't working with our family. And so we used our faith to help us make a decision, a big decision, because we had no other job to go to resign from that job and just see what God brought us.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing what happens, my brothers and sisters. When you put Jesus first, great miracles happen. Great miracles happen. And we're talking about abundant living with Joe and Ellen Burke here on Empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about tough choices, how to put God at the center of your marriage, your family, your work, your ministry. And we know that there are tough times. You talked about, you know, the loss that you had in your family. And we see Romans 8:28, where it says that we know all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. So there are some difficult times. First Thessalonians 5:16-18, in all circumstances, give thanks. Pray without ceasing, but in all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will for you in Christ Jesus. And it's hard to give thanks when times are going tough, but we give thanks for what God is doing as a result of it. You know, that's such a great point that you mentioned, Joe, is that you really grow through adversity, you go through challenges, and you go through trusting God. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on that?
There's no other choice. I mean, if I learned anything in my life, I learned more from failure than anything in my life. And I have, you know, it may be a little cheesy, but, you know, I do these kind of personal mantras to myself. And one of them is dominate the day. And I say that in life there are victims and there are deliberate creators. God gave us the choice. He gave us the choice to be a victim, blame our background, our, you know, things that happened to us when we were young, whatever. We can fall into that, or we can be deliberate creators and really go with what Jesus told us and take control of your life. And when I say dominate the day, I say today I'm going to get up, and my favorite things about the day, and we work as a team on this, but, you know, first thing, open the drapes and seeing the kids. I mean, that is the face of God.
Amen.
And holding Jameson, you know, a little guy, and with the girls it was the same, but holding Jameson, and it's this little guy, and I hold him and I say, who's the boss? And he goes, baby boss. And now he runs away because he knows
he's training you. I love that.
It's the face of God.
It is the face of God. That's beautiful. It's Joe and Ellen Burke, and Joe's talking about how family really personifies the love of God, the personification of God. We're talking a little bit about marriage here and putting God at the center of it. I want to take a look at Ephesians 5. A lot of people avoid this, especially when it says about wives should be subordinate to their husbands. So we're not going to talk about that one. But we're going to talk about the verse before that says, be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that is so important, to put the other person first. Your thoughts on that, Ellen?
Yeah, I think it's in marriage, it's sometimes easy to forget that particular Bible verse because you're trying to just do as much as you can. As you said, you know, you get overloaded and you try and do things. But I think when you think like Jesus thought, or like what we're taught, is to put others first, put God first, and those things will happen and things will come back to you. And so, you know, my I don't know if anybody's read Languages of Love.
Absolutely. Five, right?
Yeah. I
want all five, by the way, just for record.
Yeah, it's like your Bible in my house. It's like scratched and underlined and everything. It's well used.
Right.
And my language of love is acts of service.
Oh, okay.
That's how, you know, we, and Joe's is affection. And
yeah, so, I just want a foot rub.
But, you know, in keeping marriage together and thinking, you know, doing things for one another, you know, we think, well, I know what he needs from me and he knows what I need from him. And we need to keep putting that at the forefront.
We're here on Empowered by the Spirit, and we're with Joe and Ellen Burke, a dynamic couple here in the Orange Diocese, actively involved in ministry, actively involved with a beautiful marriage of 11 years and three wonderful children, very successful in business. But we're talking about how to juggle all that together. And I know for many of our listeners, that's a challenge. And we're going to get right back after the break and talk more about family and how we put Christ at the center of every family. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Brecker. We're back here high atop the Tower of Hope on Empowered by the Spirit, with Joe and Ellen Burke, and we've been talking about living life and living life abundantly through work, living life abundantly through marriage. And we want to get into living life abundantly through family with the three beautiful children again, and we found out about the baby boss, and so forth. But, you know, in this day and age, there is so much pressure on a family here in Orange County or throughout the world, certainly, all the activities, you know, running. And, you know, you were telling me before we started the show, you know, you've got to be running and go to this sporting event or this activity and that activity. And how do you put Jesus at the center of the family and make sure they understand that God's the most important thing? Not easy to do. Your thoughts?
Well, one of the most important decisions we've made, I think, is putting them in a faith-based school.
Awesome.
not to say that you have to have your kids in a faith-based school to have a faith-based family. There's plenty of other ways to do that. But that, to me, they spend a lot of their day there. And to have the component of faith in their entirely daily activities and their teachers and their principal leading them, well, we're not there to lead them. That's important to us.
And so we'll give a free commercial. What school is it?
St. Francis of Assisi in Yorba Linda.
St. Francis of Assisi in Yorba Linda. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's demands of a father and a mother, so dynamic and so difficult. I don't know about you, but, you know, having raised three children and now, of course, four grandchildren, but I just remember my wife stayed at home, Marianne, and I just felt so much pressure to, you know, bring in the bread, you know, make it happen. And sometimes you get sucked in, and maybe you don't, but I know some of our listeners, I'm sure, do get sucked into, hey, if I'm just bringing in a paycheck and, yeah, I want to do more, but I'm often exhausted, I'm traveling and so forth. I mean, how do you make sure that family is balanced out and Christ as it relates to what you do as the head of the family and as that father figure? How does that work for you, Joe?
Well, actually, we came here today so you would tell us.
I'm still trying to figure it out after all this time. No.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Your thoughts.
You know, it's very easy. Selfish people do selfish things, and at times I'm selfish, and it's wrong. But I will tell you that the happiness comes out of making unselfish decisions.
Right.
And that's really what it comes down to. I will say St. Francis has been great, and Principal Tom Wozzak is a rock star in our family. He does an amazing job running that school. So I put a second commercial out there for those guys. But I would say I just got to look at this woman. I mean, she's the center of it. I mean, I wouldn't be doing this. I'd still be living in Santa Monica. You know, I lived four blocks from the beach, and I'd probably be still, and I knew a bunch of guys that are still living there, you know, doing what they're doing. And I, at the time, thought that was it, man. I traveled the world, lived at the beach, did all these crazy, wild things. But you know what? It's nothing. I would never go back to that lifestyle. And living, all I can say is I can only give credit to this woman. I wouldn't have done any of this if it wasn't for her, and we wouldn't have what we have today if it wasn't for her.
Well, that sounds pretty good. And that's the reason why you're happily married. You figure that out, but it's the truth, right? But, you know, to everyone out there, to my brothers and sisters listening in, I know most of you, or many of you certainly feel inadequate about being a parent and trying to juggle all the responsibilities, and just know that you're not alone. But the most important thing is to put Christ at the center of your life. For example, prayer. You asked, you know, jokingly, but how do you put God at the center of it? Well, you got to talk about God with your family, you know, and it's one thing. And I agree with you in terms of the school with faith-based Catholic school and education is really critical. But unfortunately, a lot of parents, and certainly not you, but a lot of parents think that that's enough and they never talk about God. They don't say grace before meals, not just at home, but also when they're in a restaurant or out with someone else. They don't pray together. They don't, you know, have stories. They read Bible stories to one another, to the kids and so forth. And Ellen, your thoughts on that? I mean, it's so important that you model your faith from the earliest stages of your children's growth.
Absolutely. As an extension of the school, and I was going to say that even if you don't go to a faith-based school, the foundation is really coming from home. So us as a family, for example, if our daughter is having difficulty with somebody at school, she and I will sit down and talk about it, but we'll talk about it in the light of, well, what does Jesus want you to do with this? You know, and we really talk about it from a faith-based perspective. Like, you know, if somebody's being mean or if she sees somebody being mean to somebody else. And I think that's an important component. We have time to pray. We have time, our prayers before meals. We added a fist bump at the end where we all blow it up around the table, you know, so Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. And then we all just go, and we blow it up.
Love that.
But, you know, it's
a
way.
Is that patented, by the way?
It's been trademarked in 51 states. And I do have to add, though, with that. So what we do is we say, what's your, you know, after the end of grace, does anyone have a special intention? And our Janie will go on for 20 minutes. I mean, she just, wait, I got another one.
How old is she?
She's six.
She's like,
oh,
you know, perfect. There was a cat in the tree that I was thinking about. And she just goes on and on. And it's just,
that is awesome.
Awesome.
It's just,
That is exactly where it should be. That spontaneous prayer, that really focusing on other people, other things, really, really important. And, you know, it is that foundation. And I'm just going to have a little bit of a comment here to the grandparents out there. And you're far from that as a young family. But I know that so many of my generation, they look at their grandchildren and they say, what can I do? They don't go to church. They don't do anything. But I will say that you can do a lot, because when you're with them, you can read them Bible stories. You can read them scripture. You can talk about God. You can teach them how to pray. Mm-hmm. I know for my grandson, you know, we were praying a rosary. He said, I want to learn how to do that. So you can make a big difference. And the same thing for those that have nieces and nephews. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not just parents. I mean, wherever you have exposure to children and obviously those connected to you, take the time to tell them about Jesus. And I'm sure you probably have nieces and nephews, too, that you influence. Is that correct?
Yeah. Speaking of that, it's interesting you say that. So early on, and our oldest, Judith, they're all, you know, Janie's always asking questions about God. But Judith, when she was young, our niece had leukemia. She must have been 4 at the time. And so what we did is we wrote her a card every day to my niece, and we were praying. She got a really quick lesson in prayer at a very young age because the stakes were very high, and I had to explain to her what was really going on in the best way I could. But we wrote those letters, and we did a lot of prayers. In 2 years after, she rang the bell at the Children's Hospital and was cancer-free. But it was interesting because, again, through adversity, you find yourself closer to God, and she's so connected in
Praise
her faith.
God. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, teaching children about the power of prayer, about how God loves them so passionately, the miracles of healing and so forth, very, very important. But there's another very critical lesson for family raising, and that's teaching them about forgiveness. You know, we all know what happens at school, right? The teasing, the picking on this person. I'm sure the children come home, Ellen, sometimes, and I don't understand why this person did this to me and so forth. And how do you bring God into that situation?
We're actually going through that situation right now.
I knew that.
Yeah. So, you picked it the right. My older daughter is having some trouble with a girl at school, and she just doesn't understand why she's being mean to her, you know? And so we do. We talk about it and we pray about it, and you know, and I try to open it up to Judith a lot and say, well, how do you want to respond? And she says, I want her to be my friend. I want to like her. And I said, well, then do that, you know. And we talk about some of the mean things she's done, and, you know, and we talk about, well, there are reasons that she's doing this. It might not be the right choice, but, you know, we're going to forgive her because you can't move forward in a friendship, which is what you want, without forgiveness. And, you know, and she does. And I was looking through her text messages, in fact, yesterday, and she had written to the little girl and says, I really want to be your friend. I know there's some bad stuff that's happened, but I forgive you. Can we please move forward? So it was kind of nice to see that. Yeah.
All in time for the show, too.
Right in time for the show. Is literally checking these text messages yesterday.
Wow.
In preparation.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It is so hard to teach my brothers and sisters agape love, unconditional love. It's very, very hard. You know, it's hard for adults, let alone children. But we all need to learn that God loves us unconditionally. God has forgiven us unconditionally. And we need to do that with each other. And that's a difficult concept. Mm-hmm. And your thoughts on that, Joe?
I honestly believe the bad decisions I've made in my life were out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And faith is belief in things unseen. And without faith, fear is going to cripple you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of look at it. Anytime I'm really afraid, you know, saying, wow, this is a big thing we're going to do. We're just going out and we're going to, you know, we're in the middle of 5 different projects right now and taking on a number of things. And we just go fearlessly. And without faith, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. If I believed that we were going to go 6 feet under after we die, I would just say, hey, man, grab what money you can and build a fence around your life and protect what you got. But if you've got faith, you can accomplish anything. And again, it's that ship with a rudder.
And that's what we're teaching our kids, you know, is that as long as they have faith, then be who you are and love others and you'll be okay. It'll work out.
take a look at Hebrews 11:6. It says, it is impossible to please God without faith, and he rewards those who believe he exists. Faith is the cornerstone, is the foundation, which is absolutely so critical. And that perfect love drives out all fear, as it says in 1 John. And fear stands for false evidence appearing real. So destroy fear in your life, bring love into your life, bring faith into your life. That's from Joe and Ellen Burke. That's from the Lord. That's from Deacon Steve Greco here on Empowered by the Spirit. And we will be right back to talk about ministry and how we live abundant life in ministry. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here high atop the Tower of Hope, beautiful Christ Cathedral, with Joe and Ellen Burke talking about abundant living. And we've been covering a variety of subjects. We've been talking about putting Christ at the center of work, putting Christ at the center of marriage, putting Christ at the center of family and everything we do. But it's so important that we give back all the blessings that God has given us. We give back to the church. We give back to the community. We give back to the Lord. You know, we talk about tithing and people think in terms of money, but it isn't just money. It's really putting the gifts and talents that God has given us, time, talent, and treasure, and giving back to the Lord. And Joe, you've certainly done, and both Joe and Ellen Burke have done a lot of that, an incredible amount of that. Tell us about your philosophy, Joe, in terms of giving back to Lord and ministry.
Yeah, you do it every way you can. Geez, I'm on three boards of nonprofits, but again, that's like a checkbox. You know, that doesn't really count. And I'm on the board of two faith-based ministries. Before I get into what I did in 2015, you know, for 5 years, I got to mentor at Cal State Fullerton in the business school. That was some of the most faith-filled work that I think I've done. And I wasn't preaching to the kids, but listening to them and trying to grow them through really trying to compound their passion and integrity for what it is that they were doing in life. And faith did come into it, but I never brought it up. They were the ones that brought it up. That was really a unique experience. And the other one was Obria, wonderful, wonderful organization. I did work for them in 2015. And, you know, this to this day, I mean, what they're doing, and specifically in the area of technology, being a competitor, just for all the listeners out there, take a look at them, support them. They're doing wonderful work, and not only just great work that's well-intended, in terms of what the challenges are today with young people and technology, they're really at the tip of the sword.
And for our listeners, tell them what Obria is.
It's a group of privately funded medical clinics, specifically for women in unintended pregnancies. And they just, the nurses there, I got to tell you, I mean, they could make more money elsewhere, but they do it to be able to really bring the word of God to these women in crisis. The majority of people that they serve, both men and women, are from, I want to make sure I get the stat right, but it's well below the federal poverty line. And they really are a place that's an underserved area. And they do great work.
And formerly, they were Birth Choice
That's
Health
correct.
Clinics, and I sat on the board for many, many years working with Kathleen Eaton Bravo, and it's an amazing organization, as you're saying. I'm so proud to say that I've been part of that organization. But really what it comes down to for me is, where's your passion? What do you believe in? What's God calling you to do? And I know, Ellen, in your case, God called you to work within the parish with moms, and tell us about that.
So, you know, in our parish, there's a lot of young families, and a group of friends and I, Natalie, Colleen, and Becky, you know, we were talking about how there wasn't really a group to keep and bring young families and connect them in the parish. And when I say young families, mostly mothers with young children who, you know, don't have the social exposure that school and these other activities bring you. And also, we wanted to be able to connect with women, and in a way that where we knew our, we were raising our kids in the same way, you know, in the Catholic faith. And so Natalie had started a group a few years ago, but took on too much work herself. And so we decided to relaunch the Ministry of Mothers at St. Martin de Porres.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we have board of directors. We have all of our roles. We put everything together. We rebranded and we have a ministry that's flourishing. It's going on its second year. And we put on events and we connect the young families in the parish. And it's really been great. It's a great way to give back and it's a great way to help. We have several young mothers who come in from out of town. They move from a different area. They don't have friends. They don't have connection. Their kids don't have friends. And they come into the parish and they see this and they think, this might be for me. And so they come and we've met some wonderful women, some wonderful families and created really really awesome.
And that's one of the most important things is figuring out where's your personal passion, where's the need, praying about it, and then setting a course of action. I want everyone to take a look and read as a homework assignment Matthew 25. Matthew 25 has a number of different parables. It certainly has the parable talking about bearing, you know, the gifts that you have and that you can't do that. And of course, the sheep and the goats and so forth in terms of feeding the poor and being there for people. But Matthew 25 is about using your gifts and really listening to the Lord and letting the Lord direct you on where you need to go. And so that's so important because, Joe, as you mentioned, you're on three boards. I'm on three, four boards. And you get sucked into a lot of different things that feel good, but the question is, how do we know God is calling you to do that? Your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I mean, I will tell you that so many things in my life, I get placed in front of me, and I say, I have no idea why this is here, but it's here for a reason. God led me to it, and I'm going to do it. And I don't know. I really don't. But I do have a problem with saying no often. But I do know when to say no.
You know, we practice it at home. My wife says, "Okay, now I want you to say no." No. I don't think I do it very well though. Again, very very important, my brothers and sisters, that we live out our faith, we live out our convictions, what God has put in our heart. And that's certainly the very first litmus test is what is that nudging that God is calling you to do? This diocese and certainly throughout the world, there's this movement of new evangelization that really started very heavily with Vatican II. But Saint Pope John Paul II talked about this being the supreme duty. This has been picked up by all the popes and certainly currently by Pope Francis, that we are to be evangelists. And as you may or may not know, in the Diocese of Orange, very shortly, every parish is to have an evangelization committee, which is something new. And they are to go out into the world. And when you think about ministry at its basic core, it is, Joe, about evangelization in some way, shape, or form. And your thoughts on that?
You know, I gave a talk maybe about 6 months ago to young Catholic professionals. We did it at the Bush Wine Room. You know, and it was interesting because I took a whole bunch of pieces from presentations that I've done to boards of directors in the past and sort of took all those golden nuggets that were very, you know, I can't say that any of these nuggets were particularly faith-based at all. But I put them together in a PowerPoint, and then I looked at it through the lens of faith, and that's the presentation I gave them. And I'll be honest, when you talk about evangelization, it comes from the Holy Spirit. And if you put yourself in the position where you're not prejudiced in saying, I'm going to try to preach to someone, I'm going to try to tell them how to live their life, but you just take the failures and the learnings you have in your life and the Holy Spirit shines through. You can't help it. It's inevitable and it will happen.
And the word evangelization to all of our listening audience means good news. And it's spreading the good news. It's spreading hope. It's spreading encouragement. It's spreading the fact that Jesus loves us unconditionally and we don't need to worry. And that's a big part of what Living Abundant Life, Ellen, is all about. And your final words before we sign off in terms of, you know, what kind of encouragement can you give our listening audience, Ellen?
Well, I just say, you know, in terms of marriage, family, faith work, everything, you're going to go through rough times. It's not always easy. It's a lot of work. Marriage is a lot of work. Find somebody who's a faithful person that you can confide in. You know, don't go spouting off. Find somebody you can pray with, and you can just find that one person and find that person in faith and pray with them. And my father-in-law always says, you know, all else fails, just go hit the rails. He means just get on your knees.
Right.
And give it up.
I love it.
Yeah.
Your thoughts, Joe?
Oh, you know, I think marriage work, it's geology. I do think that there are better diamonds, that diamonds are created through time and pressure. And the more time and the more pressure, the better the diamond. And I look at my parents and I look at so many people who have been married and have stayed married and lived a faith-filled life and shared that with their children. Those are the better diamonds. And there's so much in our society that tells us that's not the way to go. But if you want to live the fully actualized life, even according to Maslow, the only way we will really have a legacy and live forever is not only in heaven, but through our children.
We have been so blessed to have Joe and Ellen Burke on this show telling us how to live an abundant life through Christ. Abundant life with work, with marriage, with family, with ministry, and all that we do. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you for bringing us that sacrament of marriage. We thank you and praise you for bringing us family, for bringing us ministry and work. May we put you first in all that we do. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your healing spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. May we, Lord, understand how much you love us each moment of each day. May we be filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit to have greater love and joy and peace and patience. May we always put you first that we may have an abundant life. And we say this through the power of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit, the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll be with you next week. At the same time, God bless you all.
Thank you, Deacon.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.